another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 235 for Monday, February 17th, 2020. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott.
Coke Zero every time. Look at that. Right here.
Coke Zero, where's it at?
It's right here on my screen. Do you see it?
Oh, is that one of those new Coke Zero energy ones, or is that just a zero, no sugar?
Just a zero, no sugar, and there's enough caffeine in for me, because I'm freaky sensitive to caffeine, but I like this one, and I also like the new cherry zeros, very good, and the orange vanilla cherry zero is also very good.
Oh, so, I haven't had that one. That sounds fantastic.
It is. I want the cinnamon one, but they don't have that in zero yet. Oh. They just have it in the regular Coke.
I took a sip of the cinnamon, and it was all right. It was all right.
Yeah, it's okay. I just can't do all that sugar.
I'll allow them. If I can't get a zero, I'll allow myself a half a can, because those are usually like anywhere between 120 to 150 calories with lots of sugar. So I usually half that, and I feel okay about that. That's not the end of the world.
Go straight to your hips if you're me.
Oh, absolutely, and they don't lie. But Scott, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you're a gamer who played games during the 90s and the early 2000s,
heck
right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So was your gamer fuel Doritos and Mountain Dew?
No. In the 90s, my gamer fuel was probably... Okay, no, you know what? You're half right. Cool Ranch Doritos, easily, was a normal pick of mine. And then drink-wise, probably, or Dr. Pepper probably. I was more of a Dr. Pepper guy.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I was all about the nacho cheese Doritos and the Mountain Dews. Mm. Of course, later on, Gamer Fuel became all these energy drinks. I think it's still fun, but I have trouble gaming on energy drinks. I think the caffeine in Mountain Dew was probably about right for my system.
At the
time. I don't mind energy drinks when I'm actually going out doing stuff. But man, getting wired and sitting in front of a screen,
it's crazy. You feel like you need to get up and run around and beat something up. I agree.
Yeah.
It's not good. We're all going to die.
VR stuff.
We're all going to die. That's what we know.
We're all going to die.
How about this? So Brian and I, we do this game show here where we talk about video games. And by game show, I don't mean, you know, like no prizes. This is just me and Brian, you know, talking about video games. Whoa, why is that playing again? Stop that.
I like it.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Anyway.
Starting over.
So that's what we're going to do. We're gonna talk about some games that we played this week. The Boop Show tends to focus in on some smaller efforts, games that aren't necessarily giant multi-million-dollar, 200-person team efforts, although once in a while those will slip in. But for the most part, we like to look at the smaller stuff, the gems out there, the things that you have a hard time finding. Sometimes in some deep, dark corner of Steam, you'll find a small game cowering in the corner saying, play me, right?
Why can't I get any attention?
Yeah, please give me playtime. So that's what we're going to do. And today, we're going to start with a game called Nom Nom Apocalypse.
Nom Nom Apocalypse. Did I see this somewhere recently?
I don't know, but
it's a game. Sale or something?
You might have. I got a code for it, and I was excited to play it.
Excited to play.
Until I didn't like it.
Oh, no. We find a lot of indie gems. It's not often that we find something that's a stinker. Is this a stinker?
This is not a stinker as much as it is there are better versions of this already out there.
Nah.
And you don't need necessarily this one if you already have other cool games like it.
Other ones of them.
And you probably do. You just don't either know it, or you know it and you're already playing it and you don't care. I don't know which
it
would be.
I'm looking at the video on stream right now, and so far they've sold me on what's going on here, but it kind of looks like Overcooked or something. What is...
Okay, so the graphical style is not too different from what you're describing, although I would call it a little bit more low res than something like Overcooked. You know, simple polygons, little dudes that run around. The name of the game is Nom Nom Apocalypse. Yeah.
Nom Nom Nom.
Nom Nom Apocalypse. And it is a top-down dual-stick shooter roguelike. And you're and as soon as I said those words, people went, wait a minute, there are a billion of those. There's a whole lot of those.
Right.
And you're right, there are. And there's a lot of really good ones out there. It's a genre or a subgenre or whatever you want to call it that I quite enjoy. However, despite the fact that it has some decent shooting, it doesn't really do anything new or different to the genre to make it interesting. And in fact, it has some very annoying features, like when you transition from one section to another, it fades out and in, and it's actually not the same environment you were entering. It's a different layout.
That's what I was about to say. Is it going into procedurally generated stages?
I mean, as far as I know, they're not. If they're procedurally generated, there's not much happening procedurally because they're just like big squares. There's really nothing.
Right.
And a few cars strewn about. So it's like not a lot of unique sort of structures or anything like that. And for whatever reason, when you're approaching it, it looks like a certain way. Like you're like, oh, okay, I'm entering this. Mm-hmm. There's the crosswalk. I can see that car there. And then as soon as it fades out and then fades back in, you're walking into it. And it's not the same as the place you were entering. So it just feels like, oh, wait, did I teleport? Am I in a different zone?
Right, because you're probably like me when you're playing dual stick shooters. You rarely look at the character itself. You're usually looking in the direction you're going into, and if you're fading in and out to different places, probably a little disorienting.
It is, and I didn't like that. It really bugged me. Like there was one just transitioned right there where there was a curved arrow on the street saying where the turn was, but when you crossed over and it faded back in, that turned arrow is gone. So it's just like, whoa, wait a minute. I swear there was an arrow just there. Like, it really messes with my mind, and I don't like it. It's a really bummer part of the design. The actual combat feels pretty good. When you're engaging these creatures and shooting them, it feels fine. It's meaty. You're punching or shooting dudes in the face. They explode.
You're not just shooting dudes. Right now, you're shooting angry cheeseburgers that are trying to eat you in fries. I like that part so
far. Yes, it is very Tim Burton-y kind of... invasion of the Mars people, or what's that movie? Mars Attacks.
Yeah, that's it. The Mars Attacks.
Yeah, Mars Attacks. Invasion of the Mars people. It's definitely not
invasion
it.
Invasion of the Mars people and Santa Claus.
Yeah, and Santa Claus. But they're hamburgers and fries, and you have to fight them. And when you do, they blow up nicely, and then they drop loot. Sometimes it's in the form of cash. Sometimes it's food to give you health back because you've been hurt or whatever. There are vending machines scattered throughout. When you touch those, they poop out a little food and you eat it, and then you're healthier. There's one right now happening on video. But so there's a place for you to spend your cash. Plus, in between missions, there are perks. So when you've died and gone back, you do the normal roguelike thing, which is, all right, well, now's the time where I buy a bunch of extra bonus hoochie so that when next time I go in, I got a perk, so it helps.
That's a bonus. Do you know what hoochie is?
Yeah, I do know what hoochie is.
I think you're looking for the word hooch or something. I don't think hoochie was the bonus. Hoochie is not.
You don't think hoochie was where I wanted to be? Was
I don't think that's what you meant to say.
Okay.
I think you were going for something else, but I'm glad you said it.
I'm glad I did too. But I say that I use the word hooch and hoochie in the wrong context way too often.
Absolutely.
But
some
anyway,
extra hoochie maybe.
So you go in there,
some side hoochie,
and you do this, and it's again combat, totally fun. Creature design. Right. Funny. Out of this tutorial, which this dude's in right now, so I'm gonna skip ahead, you actually get way bigger, nastier beasts to fight. Here's a kind of a boss creature here, and they're like big versions of the burger, like a big giant Mayor McCheese looking dude, and sometimes they're smaller. The little small guys kind of pepper the area throughout, that sort of thing. Sometimes the burger's riding around on giant fry legs,
Raleigh.
Stuff like that. I don't know why it's all fast food. Oh, there's some sushi creatures. So it's not all fast food. It's, I guess, unless you get your sushi fast. But
I do. It's according.
I try to. Anyway, so it's got some style in that regard. The menus are horrendous. They're really slow and unresponsive, and I don't understand why. The game itself plays fine. Like, the movement and shooting is fine, so I don't know why the menus feel so weird, but maybe that's just a me thing, and I had a weird setting. I don't know, but I didn't like how the menus felt. In the end, I it's not that I won't recommend it. It's maybe one I would put on a wish list because it is some good brainless dumb fun shooting stuff. It feels good to shoot these things. It's satisfying, but there are already a lot of games that have that part, and they also have better graphics. They have better interstitial stuff. They have better perk systems or better better things to spend your currency on in between matches so that you go back and have more fun the next time. Like, this just feels like it was just barely scratching it. And, it, you know, I'd maybe say, oh, okay, is this in early access? No, it's like a done game.
For a dual stick shooter, I don't feel the overwhelming horde mode that you usually get in dual stick shooters. It feels like it's a little bit light.
It's a little lighter. Well, first, it gets harder, and the more level, the deeper you get, it gets harder. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the sushi has wings, by the way. I should have mentioned that.
Oh, well, of course, as sushi does.
Yeah, it's a fly. Oh, and there's a French toast.
Is there grilled cheese?
Yeah, that's it. No, it's maybe it is grilled cheese. I thought it was French toast.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese. No, it is grilled cheese because it's firing a circle of cheese everywhere. You're right.
Yeah, as you do. That's
you do.
What happens when I eat grilled cheese.
And all the cars are destructible. They all explode real pretty and everything. But there you see that transition again. It's like that rubble wasn't there. Suddenly it is. Like,
right.
I don't know. It's still really discordant to me. I don't like it.
The only reason why I got to think to do that was if you were procedurally generating something and you kind of wanted a smooth transition, but that's probably about as best as you're going to get if you're like open visuals or like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a good waste of time. I've played worse games.
How did you play this?
I played it on a PC. With a controller. I think this is on Switch.
Oh my God, have you ever played a dual stick shooter with a keyboard?
It's bad.
Don't do that.
That's not true. There are some that are actually okay with a mouse and keyboard. In fact, weirdly, that Children of Morta game is okay with a mouse and keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdly. It's not great, but it's not terrible. But I'm not a big fan of, if it's this kind of game, I need a controller. Like, who are we kidding? Like, what world are we in? Anyway, you can be other characters too, not just that dude. You can be these other little chef guys and these stupid other little dudes.
I'm a chef guy.
Yeah, you can be a chef guy. It's okay. I don't think
I'm a chef guy and I like a little bonus hoochie.
Don't roll out and buy it. Just maybe bookmark it and go, you know, favorite it and then wish list it, and then maybe one day this will pop up and be cheap.
So when you whenever you say roll out, do you like instantly think about
Transformers?
Yeah, well, Transformers, that's probably one, too. That's probably a better one.
That's the only one I would think of. What are you thinking of?
Right.
When you hear rollout.
No, I'm thinking of wow, my gosh. How am I forgetting his name there? Oh, my God, I'm blanking.
I don't know.
I was so trying to hold on everything else. Roll out from Fast and Furious.
Do they say roll out in there?
The Atlanta, he's Atlanta hip-hop artist.
Oh, Ludacris.
Ludacris. Oh my gosh, why couldn't I think of that?
What is he? Why did he say that? What's his deal?
That's one of his songs where he's got the big head thing.
Oh.
And he's got like the those big head videos. Remember those?
Yeah, I remember those. Out. I don't remember this at all. Oh, here, I have it right here. Is that not it? That's probably not it.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh wait, here it is. I found it.
Nailed it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
You nailed it.
All right.
Got it.
Ludacris, keeping it real. All right.
Ludacris. Don't check out Side Hoochie.
Yeah.
By Ludacris.
Side Hoochie is an amazing album. It was underrated. All right. So let's talk about Knights and Bikes, which I've seen everywhere, but I guess it's on the Switch also. Tell me your thoughts on this thing.
Absolutely. It's been out for a few months already on PC, I think PlayStation, Xbox, but now it's come to the Switch, and I had to pick it up because Kid London gave the recommendal. She said, you got to do it. And I was like, okay. Do I call it a recommendal? I mean, that's what you call it, everything else y'all watch, but I guess it's really a Nicole thing, right? So yeah, she recommended Kit London did.
We just call it movies. Or recommendals were for movies, but we don't care. You can still call it that.
Right, right. Knights and Bikes. This is a Double Fine production kickstarted project. It is a co-op game at its best, but you can play it as a single player. You can play online co-op as well as couch co-op. I end up having to play it by myself. Boo. I was a little disappointed because each of these characters that you play, there's two young girls who are on this island, this mysterious island. One of the girls who lives there with her father has a backstory, and we unfurl that as we go along. You'll notice this is from Foam Sword, by the way. This is a lot of guys that worked on Little Big Planet. So if you look at the style and you kind of go, oh, yeah, it looks like a lot of the background art from Little Big Planet.
Yeah. Also, what's that other game they made? Media Molecule made the game called...
Yeah, Media Molecule. So
what'd they make? That other one, though. And it was like everything was paper stuff.
What was it? It was. What was it called? Tearaway.
Tearaway. I love Tearaway. Oh, my gosh. I love that game.
Tearaway. That was it.
Yeah.
So imagine that. those guys getting together and going, you know what we need to do? We need to make a cooperative game kind of based on like Goonies and games that kind of are like games where the kids are the heroes and they must save their parents. And that's what you're doing here. And Knights and Bikes, you are trying to save the amusement park or golf, like it's like a golf course, but it's really kind of amusement kind of park really is what it really is. They're being evicted, this girl and her father. And so what you have to do is you have to unfurl the story with by playing as a kid on your bike as a knight, as you do. I'm getting kind of lost already.
In the game, you're lost already.
You know? I'm watching the game what you're showing on screen, and I'm like trying like that's I'm describing something totally different.
Yeah,
that's what we was talking about pre-show. I'm like, I've been getting a lot of first impressions on these games.
Yeah,
and I'm not able to dig deep enough into the game because I played this game for a good 2 hours, and I only really got through chapter one.
Yeah,
I know some stuff that happens later on, but essentially you start out as Nessa, the one character you see on screen now. She's the dark haired one.
She's the dark haired.
You don't know anything about her. Yeah, you don't know anything about her story. But she runs in to Demelza, and she is the girl who lives on this island, and she's recently lost her mother, and there's a little bit of story being revealed as you go along. And so
she's Nessa, the ginger there, the ginger redhead lady
she's
girl.
She's the ginger redhead, correct.
Okay.
And so she's all about the adventure, and she's convinced Nessa to play along. So this golf course is based on legend of this island that they're on, that there were knights there at one point in time, and something happened, and they got very sick. And there's supposed to be a treasure somewhere on the island as a backdrop for all that stuff. And that's what brings in the tourists. The tourists come in to kind of like absorb this atmosphere and this off season. So it's just these two girls and the dad, and they're running free roaming on this island looking for the treasure.
Interesting.
And you get to do that by trying to solve puzzles, a little bit of hack and slash, but most of the puzzles that solved are you use like frisbees to knock bullseyes down to reveal certain areas. And you also, have a stomp. You got your wellies. Remember wearing wellies? Did you ever wear wellies?
I had like wellies. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So one of her powers is stomping mud puddles and stomping worms. It's important to get the worms because as you collect the worms, you can feed them to the goose. There are several geese, and they help you complete.
They
the
help
story.
You. Geese are usually dicks. How'd that
they
work out?
Are dicks, but there comes a point in the game, and I didn't make it this far. This is just stuff that I was reading, mm-hmm. which, like I said, that's why it disappointed me so much. I was like, oh, I hate that I'm going to have to talk about this game. I've only got to play it for a couple hours. I want to complete it, but I know that by this time tomorrow, I can't look back on this game because I've got to start the next one, you know? And so I kind of feel like I just got into chapter one of this wonderful game, and I just really want to finish. I got to find time for it. I got to find time to finish it.
All right, I think you should. It looks neat. But
because it is amazing. I know the things I didn't get to is I only unlocked one of the kids' bikes. Eventually, I've been unlocked both the bikes, and when you unlock the bikes, you can upgrade the bikes as you go along. And the bikes are so much fun. And oh my God, the music in this, the composer for this game.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find his name now. It's Daniel Pemberton.
Oh, yes. Old Daniel.
He's a composer
Pemberton.
For Spider-Man, Enter the Spider-Verse, Dark Crystal stuff. That's the one on Netflix. Mm-hmm. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He's been around forever, and he's got such a huge, huge build-up of stuff in Hollywood. He's even doing video games, too. I'm like, how does he even get around to this, and how did they land this guy? Mm-hmm. It is an amazing collection of amazing talent, and I've loved it so far. I just haven't gotten far enough into it.
Nice. All right, well, maybe there's more on the horizon for Brian and the game Knights and Bikes. They're never on bikes? They're just running around all the time.
Well, that's the thing. I only finished chapter one, essentially, and only one of the kids had a bike, and it was fun, too. It was that's the big selling point. When you start this game, the first thing you do is you ride through this field, and they're playing this amazing rock song, this anthem of a rock song, of I want to ride my bike all day and all night. And it's just, it's an amazing feeling riding that bike. And you're kind of chasing that feeling all through chapter one, and you never get there. But I think once I do, it's going to be amazing.
All right. Well, you should keep playing it.
Like I said, it got me to the point where it's like I was almost about to get to the best part of the book, and I was like, oh, I'm out of time. I'm out of time.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's no good. No good to be out of time. Never be out of time. Always be on time.
Never be out of time.
All right. I'm going to now take us to a game that I'm going to wholeheartedly, full-throatedly recommend.
Do it.
And you might say to yourself, Scott, wow, you really want to go that far? And the answer is yes. I'm going to recommend the game Wilson. No, it's not the ball, and it's not the ball in Castaway. It's not it's not the neighbor on
Wilson
on the Handyman Show, whatever his name
it's
was.
It's spelled Wilson. I got
Wilson, W-O-L-C-E-N. And it is long in development, finally out in full 1.1 fashion or 1.0 fashion, out of early access game. Started on Kickstarter, made by a French developer, small team, couple of people that really wanted to make this thing. It is an action RPG in the vein of your, you know, sort of Diablos and your Path of Exiles, that sort of thing. And it's made in the Crytek engine.
Oh, I thought this looked familiar for some reason.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty. I didn't know the Crytek engine could do a nice isometric over-the-head RPG style game, but apparently it has no problem doing
that. When I was studying some of this, that was one of the engines I had looked at about... it was about a year ago now. I was really looking at all the different engines, and I went through all these demos of different engines, and this was some of the things that blew me away too.
Yeah, it's pretty it's pretty cool that way. But it's
because I thought that engine was dead.
No, still a thing. Well, I mean, I don't know how frequently people are using it for things like shooters and stuff, the way Unreal and even Unity is. But this is what they started with. This is what they stuck with, and it's a beautiful, beautiful game. I would say graphically they're doing things here that are on par from what I've seen from Diablo 4's early footage. It's that quality of a presentation. It's very pretty. They've been working on it for a long time. Some of the initial reactions when this thing was just into early access were a little rough. It wasn't, you know, super polished, didn't have all the classes and the abilities and all the cool stuff yet. It has come a long, long way. Now, I will say this before I get any further. There's a like Diablo 3 before it, and 2 for that matter. Well, more like 2 actually. It has an online mode and an offline mode. And the online mode is what you'd expect. It's like, hey, I'm going to team up with three of my buddies. We're all going to go fight together. And so you can do that, and then you roll around with them. Or if you do an offline character, it's just you, and that's all it's ever going to be. You're never going to join with anybody. It's just you and your offline character. Now, the reason I'm going to recommend doing an offline character for this first run through of the story is that the online stuff is broken. It is freaking bad. They keep shutting down servers and restarting them and trying new patches, and they're having all kinds of issues with the online, which when I was playing this in early access was also a problem. So I don't know what happened between then and release, but as polished as this game is and as fun as the combat is, and it's very good, like just really great visceral combat.
I'm not saying much because all I'm doing is just sitting here staring at the beauty of how it's responding.
It's a pretty game. It's a pretty game. And it's very, you know, very tactile. You have this roll ability, and you have what's it called? Stamina points. And when you have those stamina points, you can roll. And it's not just a fake roll like in the Diablo console games. It's like a full-on sped-up roll away from the combat kind of thing, which gives you these great opportunities in big boss fights where... You know, the roll away is actually going to save your butt. It's not just there for a cool look or whatever.
Do you feel like a badass? I feel like you would feel like you're a badass the whole time you're doing
it. Totally feel like a badass. The game has nailed that, which is important in an action RPG like this. And it's got all the loot stuff. It does non-symmetrical loot. So you drop left shoulders and right shoulders. You drop left glove, right glove. You can interchange your gloves, your boots. Oh, no, the boots are the same pair. You don't want to mix up boots, but you can have a different, you know, wrist slot depending on whatever drops and whatever combination you want to have. And if a pauldron drops that's a left shoulder thing and it's good for a sorcerer, but it also has some bump to some other thing and you're playing a melee class, cool, you can wear that. But you can also wear this other pauldron, which may not match, but it's got other stats that you need. So it's like having extra slots, really, is what it comes down to. But you have all that stuff. You have all those RPG trappings. It's a combination of kind of Diablo runes that change up your abilities and powers, and also the Path of Exile branching big giant spec map thing they do, their big talent tree thing. It's got a version of that. Cool. It's not as complicated, but it's there. And you can kind of just be whatever you want to be. It's very good at abilities you find in the world and then level up. They don't just happen to you. You'll kill a dude and he'll drop this book or tome and you read it, and now you know how to do a fireball. It's things like that. It's super interesting. It's an interesting change to what I'm used to with these games.
What's this called again? Molson?
Molson. W-O-L-C-E-N.
What a terrible name. Rename your game.
It's an awful name. Great name. Or what's our new segment? Bad name, great. You know, stupid name, great game.
There you go.
Was that it? I think that was it. We need a sound for it, though. Hold on. Bad name, stupid game. No, other way.
Bad name, good. Good game, bad name.
Good game, stupid name. There you go. It's a dumb name. Anyway. The Gunslinger class is very fun, chat room. You're right. Some of the classes are a little bit weird. I'm playing a wizard and doing just fine. Doing all magic stuff, and I'm kicking butt and not losing and having a great time.
That bad guy looks awesome.
Oh, he is super cool. And then you turn into something that I can't even do yet.
That is cool.
And this is just tutorial stuff right now. So later in the game, you get all kinds of weird stuff. But anyway.
Oh, no. This is the tutorial. So that means you get to be badass for a minute, and then you have to spend like the next 3 weeks trying to get badass again.
Kind of, yeah. Sure. Although, I don't know. The stuff's coming at a pretty good clip. It's not really bugging me. But, you know, it's got all the... It's very Nintendo. It's very Diablo. Nintendo. Like, there's a little thing that runs around carrying gold that you can shoot, and it'll dump a bunch of gold, and it's kind of random. And it's like a loot goblin. You know, like, they take a lot of ideas from a lot of the established games in this genre, and they do a pretty good job of replicating it. The actual characters and the world and the story in this very Warhammer, traditional Warhammer, just big, gnarly, whacked out armor dudes and big, huge hammers and swords and just that kind of. And they're all talking like, yes, meet us at the fourth gate of the Nightmare Kingdom. We shall be triumphant. Like, it's just a lot of fun, over the top stuff like that. I like that kind of stuff, so I'm sort of into it.
Too.
I like it. Good voice acting, fun character progression. It's gorgeous, and it's a good hold me over until, you know, Diablo or somebody else blows my mind. And I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going to recommend it. Now, what's interesting is this is, I think we're looking at.
Wow. That looks so Diablo. It's hurting my head.
Well, it's pre-release. This is pre-release footage. And so the UI has changed. So they don't even have what you're looking at there. That ball in the middle with the life ball in it, it's not even there anymore.
Right.
They've switched all that stuff out. So this is beta footage, which is fine. It's all I could find that was like extended gameplay. But anyway, I like it so far. There's some broken stuff. They seem dedicated to fix it. They're a small team. I'm willing to let a small team. They've already made what seems like a much bigger game than a small team could be capable of. So I'm willing to let this stuff go. But if you're wondering why I'm saying hold off on the
online,
the online is because when you beat the story once, whether it be offline or online, doesn't matter. Then it opens up and you now get like randomized dungeons, sort of adventure mode, like in Diablo opens up, and then you can do online or offline characters all you want and build up your alternate characters and stuff. And you should run that with your friends once they get their server shit worked out. Because as an offline game, it runs great. Plus all of you Diablo players that complain for years, oh, I hate the Diablo's online all the time. I hate it. I want to just play a game by myself. Well, now you can do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh. Now you can do it.
I'm into it.
I like it. Wilson out now. $39.
Wilson, do it.
The developer is, I meant to do this more. Hold on. Wilson developer. All right. These guys, just so you know who you're talking about, it's Wilson Lords of Mayhem is the actual name of the thing, which you can
find. Like Lords of Mayhem. Is that already taken? Because I just call it that. Lords of Mayhem.
It's a little cooler. I agree. Developers. Yeah. I'm trying to find the, here we go. Okay. These folks, their name is Jibber Jab Zibberty Bee Bee Boo Boo. I can't
Jibber
find
Jabba
it.
Jibber Jab.
I'm sure it's in here. Can't find it. I'll look at it for a minute, or in a minute. Okay, so before I throw it back to you, I wanted to make a couple of quick mentions. Number one, that Steven Universe game, Embrace the Light or Encroach on the Light or whatever it is.
What's right,
it
right.
Called? Shoot, forgot the name of it.
I just call it Steven Universe game. They don't have too many, do they?
I think they have a couple. The one I'm thinking of is this one that's on Apple Arcade right now that is the right. It's like a turn-based JRPG sort of Paper Mario kind of effort. Wilson Studios is the name of the dev.
Goody.
Those French guys, they don't know how to get diverse, man. They're just like, oh, you know right. what we should do? We should just use the name. So they did.
We should name it after the studio.
Yeah, that's a really good French accent you're doing there. Okay, so anyways.
Thank you. Oh, da, da, da.
Even I'm offended. All right, what was the point? Oh, that Steven Universe game is very good, and I just wanted to put it out there that you're thinking, man, I don't know about this mobile stuff. I've also been playing it on desktop because that's you can play it on your Mac, and it all syncs together, cloud syncs and everything, and it plays extremely well on there. And that is just a really good turn-based RPG that looks very, I don't know, you might look at it on the face of it and go, oh, that just looks like one of those. There's a lot more to it. That's a very cool game, and I wanted to throw that out there. And then the other thing was, I spent some time with an old game I talked about on here probably a year and a half ago called American Fugitive, which plays like GTA China Wars. You remember China Wars?
Yeah, I love China Wars.
Kind of top-down, still 3D, but more like the original GTA games. It's basically that, but set in like the redneck South or something. And you're a dude on the run trying to stay away from the cops, and you're running missions and you're stealing cars and all that. It's very cool, and I haven't talked about it in a long time, and it's just fun to pick up again, American Fugitive on Steam. All right, and probably everywhere else. I don't know where else it is. I'm sure it's in other places. Brian, why don't you tell me about Aegis Defenders?
That's Aegis. Don't say Aegis Defenders. I'm defending the Aegis. It's actually A-E-G-I-S. So I believe it's pronounced Aegis Defenders.
Yeah.
Was that?
It is Aegis, right? It is.
It is. That's how I say it. So, hey, yeah. Scott.
Yeah.
You know how you like those 2D platformers and you like those pretty good?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And you know how you love the tower defense?
Yeah, I do. Hate the tower defense. Hate it. It's the worst thing ever.
Well, I may have found something that may not turn you off too much about tower defense, because this is not mostly tower defense. It is the traveling to point is your platforming, but then you get locked into an area and you have to do a bit of tower defense, but nothing too bad. I mean, not like where you've got usually set up a couple of turrets. It's not like you got to set up a whole bunch of different types of things, but most of the combat system is that tower defense. You set things up and you let things come in and you battle them.
Okay.
So This is the other co-op game. For some reason, I was feeling very co-op-y this week. I didn't stream it, but I did play it offline with Ethan. Try to play it by myself. By the way, both these games this week, they're both listed as co-op and single player, but both of them greatly benefit from co-op play.
Do you like that or you hate that? Because I kind of hate that.
It kind of irritates me, but I was in a place where I was able to play co-op, so I was okay. But if I bought this game and I didn't have anybody to play with at the time, because sometimes that happens, I'd be a little disappointed, especially this game, because this game requires both the players, and they're usually on different levels. You start out that way, so you got like one of your characters is up top, and then your father character is down on another level, another plane, and you got to meet. So what you have to do if you're playing by yourself is you have to get that first character to a checkpoint, and then you have to get the father and get him to the checkpoint, and then y'all meet up. It's kind of like backtracking a little bit. It's not terrible, but it's not great either.
Did you guys play the roles of you were the father, he was the son?
Yes, absolutely.
Nice,
right.
Nice.
Yeah, we did not roll reverse there. We played like I said, I played for a little bit myself as a single player and said, this ain't gonna work. I'm like, I ain't gonna backtrack for 20 minutes to try to get this other guy up here. No way.
Yeah. How come is this you playing that I'm watching?
No, this is not me playing. Like I said, I didn't record any of it because it was just offline. But this person seems to be playing about like I do. As you can see, they're shooting some creatures. Everything in the world, all the creatures in the world are trying to kill you.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be in the future, but after technology has failed us, and now we have fallen back to using the old technology, the really ancient technology. And so we're trying to free these animals by shooting them and killing them.
Great.
I don't think we're trying to free them. We're just trying to get past them.
You're free. Be free. You're dead.
You're free. I will free you from your torment. You're dead now.
You're dead now. You no longer are free.
So I got this on the Humble Bundle. I'm still subscribed to the Humble Bundle monthly. And this came out in 2018, but I believe it was in this February's bundle again. So I got it as part of that. It is developed by Guts Department. I'm not even really sure what else they do, but I really enjoyed this. It is a split screen co-op.
How are you doing in the Guts Department, by the way? Doing all right in the Guts Department? Doing all right?
I'm doing okay in the Guts Department. Okay. My guts are all right. Okay. All right. I'm making sure that I eat the right
good.
Fiber.
Lots so of fiber.
Right.
Yeah. Good idea. Right. Like, eat some good, like pickled things. Those are good for you. Good right. for the gut. Yeah. Anyway.
The thing I really like about how they handled the co-op in this game, though, is a split screen.
Yeah.
But it is a dynamic split screen. So if you both are in, I'm always amazed by this technology. If you're both in the same area, both of your characters in the same area, it is, you know, you it's no split screen. But then if you get so far away from each other, it splits the screen intelligently. So like if it needs to be a diagonal split, it turns into a diagonal split. It'll just rotate all the way around.
It'll rotate. Like I know what does this. The Lego games do this now.
Right. They do. Yeah, like that. And so it's such a smooth transition. And like I said, this is such a co-op game. If you're gonna play this game, definitely do it with a friend. And it's only a two-player co-op, just like the Knights and Bikes, which I kind of, it was perfect. I had to party up.
Sure. Do the ageists, do the ageists that you're defending, do they want to be defended? Are they glad that you're there defending them and their position on age?
Right. I never actually got to see the ageists.
Okay. So you don't even know what you're defending really at this point.
I don't really know what I'm defending. All I'm doing is just following along with the story. They've got like these cutscenes that are revealing some of the story. By the way, what he's doing right now is you can learn recipes for turrets. And so you have to pick up blocks as you go along, and you can two blocks stack to make a turret. And so there's a little bit of, you know, of crafting, but very limited, very, very limited bombs and turrets and that kind of thing. And as you can see right now, the character on the screen will pop up and they'll have like a little bit of what they think is clever dialogue. Yeah. Debatable.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It was lighthearted.
How anime is that little turd, little blonde guy?
Oh, he's so anime, both of them. Oh, and the dad's even worse because he's like, nah. He's like the real guy that would just make, you know, the nah, nah,
yeah.
nah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, but we know we got kind of like a, like I said, I enjoyed my time with it, but it was too short. Once again, too short a time for the games this week. I don't know. If it's something different I'm doing or if I'm getting more involved in the games. I think I know what it is. I think actually I've slowed down my gameplay.
Yeah.
Because this is my just a mention that I wanted to talk about. Did I mention this last time that I had never completely played a Zelda game?
Never all the way through, right?
I've never played any Zelda game all the way through. And in fact, I've never played any Zelda game until about a month ago that I played for more than an hour. I mean, that's probably the longest I ever played a Zelda game. Maybe 30 minutes might have been the longest I ever played a Zelda game. It just never,
that's crazy.
Just never appealed to me, right? I've played other Zelda-like games.
Yeah.
But I just never wanted, it wasn't the right thing for me. So I have went back and I have been playing Link to the Past on Thursday nights, and I've been really enjoying that. It took me an hour and a half to beat one of the bosses on that game.
Gonna say it took an hour and a half to beat the game, and I'm like, what are you, like a Games Done Quick genius? Some kind of freaking speedrunner?
No, it was terrible. They had these it's like the second pendant that you have to get, or amulet. And it's like these worm things are coming out of the ground and they're jumping and they're, man. And I just could never get it figured out. And the chat room was so good because I was pretty excited. I thought I had been moving along at a pretty good clip and I thought I was just going to nail it in my hour and a half of gameplay time that I had. I did not. Yeah. It took me an hour and a half to get past one screen. So it was just an hour and a half of me fighting worms.
That's cool though. You have the chat room there.
Fighting worms.
Help you through it. Figure it out.
Absolutely. And they were just great. It was so much fun. And I also, for Valentine's Day, I don't know if you get love gifts on your Valentine's Day.
Yeah, 14 days of it. My wife's insane. She does 14 days of Valentine's. It's nuts.
Oh, nice. So do you get like food or something?
Food. Oh my gosh. Tickets to a thing. A gift certificate somewhere. She got me some lotion. She got me like...
She got you some lotion?
Yeah, lotion. Do you know I dated a girl?
Did she get you some deodorant?
She did. No deodorant. She got me some cologne, though. So it's all stuff.
Does she know about the extra hoochie?
That she is not aware of my extra hoochie at all. She has no idea what's going on. No, no. No, we try to keep that on the down low, Brian, the extra hoochie.
Right, right, true, true. Okay, so yeah. Anyway, but I did, you know, I got to say, you know, we did all the romantic things, but I also received Link's Awakening for the Switch. So I've been also playing that and playing between A Link to the Past and Link's Awakening. I am really in that mode of the Zelda. You know, yeah. I've got Ocarina of Time too, sure. Which I've played around a little bit, but it's not like the other two.
Ocarina is amazing.
Right.
And it's the first Zelda. Okay, so this is fun since we're doing Zelda confessions. That was the first Zelda game on the N64 is where I played it originally that I beat. I had never beaten right. a Zelda game up to that point. I'd played a ton of Zelda 1 and 2 and Link to the Past on the SNES, but I had never beaten any of them for whatever right. reason. But I was so compelled by Ocarina of Time that I beat that game. And I've actually beaten that game twice. I beat it again on the 3DS when they put out that remastered version of it. And beat it again. Oh. And then the next Zelda game that I played to finish 1.5 times was
1.5 times.
Was Wind Waker, because I played it on the GameCube, and then I played it later when it came out on the Wii U, and I played most of it on the Wii U again, so more than half probably, but I played the freaking hell out of that thing, and I loved that game. Oh, I love that game.
It is amazing. I didn't so now, you know, I know about the Zelda lore. So I had peeked in enough times and I knew enough of the references that I never felt like I was, you know, missing out on the popular culture of Zelda, but the deep dive I totally missed out on. And so GameStop had their President's Day sale. It's been going on over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I had drift on one of my controllers on my Switch, so I picked up 2 used Joy-Cons for like $40.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Deal. That's pretty good.
But they had buy 2 get 1 free used games, and I was so tempted to buy 3 more Zelda games that were on the DS. Was it 2 or 3?
On the DS there were. Hold on, there was the train.
There were
one.
Ton between the first DS and then the last, you know, the 3DS versions.
I want to say there were only like 2 or 3 games, though, right? Proper games.
That's what I want to think.
Best one in the DS era, the best one I think was that Minish Cup game. I like that game a lot.
Oh.
And then on the...
Hyrule Warriors too? That's not really...
Oh, yeah. I can't count that, though, can you? I don't know. Right. That was a weird thing.
I don't know. But I was going... I was really standing in front of the DS section, and I realized I had to walk away because I'm like, I'm about to buy... You know, at least 2 more Zelda games.
You're about to go all in, yeah.
Yeah, I've played way too much Zelda lately. I think that's one of the things I think, but it really slowed my gaming down.
I think that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's what I think we could do once in a while. Like once in a while, we're gonna hit a game where we're like, man, this thing needs more time for me to really dive. You know, and then so instead of hitting 2.5 a week, you do the 1 that week, and maybe even it's a 2-parter. It's like. My first half of this game is all I'm going to talk about. And the next week you finish it up. Like, we could totally, like, drag some of these out if we had to. It's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Aegis Defenders, but, man, if I could have... Because I feel like I can go back and play that anytime. That's like a game you can jump in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
This story that they have evolving in this Knights and Bikes, I want to see it through completion. I'll probably only play it once, and I'll be done. I'll never have to go back again, but...
Yeah, but you want to finish it.
It's that kind of game.
Yeah. You want to finish it?
I want to finish it.
I get it. Well, we'll figure something out.
Finish him.
All right. Tell me about nothing, because we're about to now
do... That was it. Yeah. That was my just to mention, yeah.
Now there's this.
It's a me, Mario!
Time for Guess My Game. Brian and I play clips from popular games of yore, and then we try to guess what it is. I start, and it's an old arcade game. It's all the hints you're going to get. Very early 80s business here, so see if you can figure it out. Chat room, you can play along. Here you go. Guesses yet?
I gotta say, I don't even know. This doesn't sound familiar at all. Like the sound effects. So, boo, boo.
Yeah, and a little boop, boop. Sounds like someone's pooping.
This is arcade, right?
Very arcade. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
oh,
this is a little too...
Someone in the chat got it. I don't want to give it away yet, but chat got it.
This is a little too good for Atari, but it sounds like Atari Arcade, maybe.
It is the game... And big ups to the Wrath 86 who got it. The game is Xevious. Xevious.
I got to see some footage of that. I don't think I remember Xevious at all.
Oh, man. Xevious is a classic, dude. So it's one of the, it's a top down overhead scrolling, you know, shooter like 1942 or, you know, there's a million games like this. But Xevious was a pretty unique game, and it was this sort of science fiction-y thing. And for 82, looked pretty incredible for the time. And I really liked Xevious a lot when I was younger. I'd play Xevious when I was a kid and until my hands hurt. It's a little like Air Raid. Someone in the chat says it looks like it. It's a bit like that. It's one of those. Like, it's one of those games, but it was one of the earlier ones, and a lot of stuff came after it. And I think they kind of owe Xevious a thanks for... breaking ground. It's a good fun game from the early Hades. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. You ready?
Do it.
Here goes.
He will never leave Eurasia alive.
I got you.
Year is 1989.
Oh, I know what this is. This is one of the... This is a Castlevania, isn't it?
Is it a Castlevania type? No. No. It is a side-scrolling action platformer.
This isn't, That's video game diarrhea right there.
Yeah, man. I mean, when I heard this one, I was like, did I play this game? And it's like, I've seen it before, but I don't remember playing it. But I said that the audio is so unique when I was listening to it. I was like, because I was floating around the 1988, 87 when I was looking at different games to pick this week. Mm-hmm. And I noticed how everything sounded so much alike. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it just seems like everything sounds alike.
There was a
and
lot of
when I came across
stuff,
this,
yeah.
I was like, wow, this sounds like totally different.
I'm going to play this voice stuff at the beginning because it's going to help me figure it out. Hold on.
It's actually going to be figured out because he actually says the name.
Oh, he
of the
does?
Game.
He says it? All right, I'm going to listen really carefully.
Yeah.
Oh.
He will never leave Eurasia.
It's Strider.
Yeah, he actually said Strider. And I was like, yeah, I bet he won't catch that.
I
put it close
catch
to the front
the first time. Yeah. No. Like, that is some really bad.
You'll never escape Eurasia.
That was some early voice chip stuff, man. That is really old. Woo. Eurasia.
Makes me want to play it because it's really unique. When I looked at it, I was like, wow, they were doing some stuff that nobody else was really doing.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't sure what was going on there.
Strider game. I need to look at it again. Let's see here. This is Strider arcade game. Oh, yeah. Yep, there's Strider. I remember Strider. It was like a...
I wonder if it's on the Sega Genesis. I was trying to see if it was on my Sega Genesis Mini because it was supposed to be on the Sega Genesis at one point in time.
It was. It was on the... So here's all the versions that showed up. I don't know if they were all as good as each other, but the arcade, the Amiga... Amstrad CPC, the Atari ST, Commodore 64 had a version, MS-DOS. There was a PlayStation, a Genesis/Mega Drive version, a Master System version, a X68000 TurboGrafx CD version, and a ZX Spectrum version. So a lot of versions of Strider, it turns out.
Mm.
The Mega Drive Genesis version came out November 5th, 1990. So.
I'm looking now. I think our Mini may have this on it.
Oh, real? Oh, the Mini might have Strider?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
That'd be awesome. Like I said, I've got to try it out. Like I said, in my deep dive of video games during that time, it was a standout for some reason.
Oh, hey, you know that controller fetish problem we had last week?
Yeah.
Look at this, everybody. Hold on, I'll hold this up.
Did you do it?
I did two things, because I'm weird. I bought a SNES Super NES wireless with the little dongle thing you plug into the front of it for the classic.
Yeah, yeah.
Got that from 8-Bit Do. Feels like a legit SNES controller. It's awesome. I love it. Feels so good.
Yeah.
So good. Just no complaints here. Absolutely love this thing. And the range, I don't know what the range is, but I've been pretty far from that thing and I'm having no problems with it. So there's that. Right. That was pretty cheap. And then this was not as cheap, but still cheaper than a brand new controller from Microsoft or somebody. But I picked up the 8-Bit Do what's it called? The
GN30,
GC30, whatever it is. Anyway, I got there. It's basically a
Oh, you did get the black one.
I did get the black one. Yeah, I like the black.
That looks out. I almost ordered that one. I got to get one.
This plays great. Feels great. I've played it on a PC. Oh, I've tried it on a Mac. I tried it on phones, and I've tried it on a Switch, and all of them work beautifully.
So good.
And it's just a nice, sturdy.
Why is 8-Bit Do not sponsoring the Boop Show?
Let's get it in here because I've spent so much money on their stupid shit. And I'm this close to buying the Genesis one. I want that one, the 6-button Genesis one they have for the classic,
that one.
For the mini. I think I may do it.
That's want that stupid, even though I absolutely know I'm not going to like it, I kind of want that little bitty microcontroller they have for the phone.
Yeah, it's cool, right? It's dumb, but see, this is the problem. We shouldn't want any of this, but yet here we are.
No. Well, like I was telling when I was in GameStop.
Yeah.
And I was in the sales and stuff, and they were trying to get me to pre-order Animal Crossing. And it's like, you know, they're only going to have so many. And I was like, yeah, I said, but I don't know if I want to look for a cartridge. And I'm like, I love spending my money at GameStop because I want the physical stores to stay around because I love the fact I can go in and talk to other gamers and learn about stuff that's not curated by...
Yeah, but they're not going to teach you anything in those places. Those people are dumb when it comes to stuff.
Not my GameStop.
My GameStop is full of people that go, oh, yeah, there's a rumor floating around that Nintendo's getting bought out by Johnson & Johnson baby products, so that's going to be real weird for the
you
brand.
You need to come to my games. I think it varies from store to store, of course, but our GameStop is well staffed, and we have intelligent people who are it's kind of like when you go to a comic book store. You may go to a comic book store or a card store is probably more like it, where they just trying to sell you cards and collectibles and stuff. Then you got people who are actually passionate about it. And I'll tell you, my local GameStop, we're lucky. It's one of the busiest ones in this area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does fantastic sales. And the reason why is because of the staff. And so anyway, I love buying my stuff from there because hardware is always going to be a market for hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like ordering stuff off Amazon and 8-Do and all that stuff. But man, being able to go into my local GameStop and they'll let me open up the little packages. Mm-hmm. Like not new stuff, but like if there's a used version of something, I can take it out, play around with it.
You know what else is cool about these, by the way? I just want to make this comment before I forget about it. All their new controllers or all the stuff they're shipping now is all USB-C. So none of this is like micro USB, break it in half crap anymore.
Hate that crap.
I do too. But that, I think it goes for pretty much their whole line. I can tell you these. Well, okay, take it back. This one for the SNES Classic is USB micro. It's fine. I just have to charge it. But the new black one that I just showed you, that one is USB-C. The there are other lines, I believe, are that also. Yeah, these phones.
I don't want to go back to another fighting game, but I've been wanting to play. There's been a lot of good fighting games out lately, and I've been wanting to go back to some. And unless I get that arcade stick that you have, like right over there to the right, I'm not going to get one because I don't like playing fight games with my regular controller. I need an arcade stick.
I want.
This makes sense to me.
The new, what's this called? We did this last week. I can't believe I'm doing it again. It's just, I'd love them. I love this stuff. I don't know why I like it so much, but I just like it.
I'm really into hardware right now. I think it's because I have so much digital entertainment that it really does give me a great pleasure to get something hardware.
Something tangible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could totally see this. They've got a new wired controller coming. That's interesting. What is it out now? Hold on. Oh yeah. They have a wired version of their controller. If you're just like, I don't want to have wireless. Oh. Wireless is for babies.
Is for babies.
Yeah. That's cool.
Wireless is for babies who strangle themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want none of that crap.
They don't like babies. Anyway.
They don't like babies.
These guys are just rad, and I kind of want one of these phone ones, too, talking about.
I agree. Has it got a Raspberry Pi down there, too?
Yeah, they're showing a Pi. It's not, they don't sell it.
I gotta get my Raspberry Pi running again I can do some.
These little bitty controllers are great. It's like having a whole bunch of Joy-Cons.
Look how small they are.
I know.
It's crazy small.
And you can get them to match your Switch, or you can color clash like I did with that controller cover. All right. Enough fetishizing controllers for now, but I'm very happy with both of these. So highly recommend it, especially if you're looking for a good multifunction use case. This thing has been great on everything I've thrown at it. I mean, as far as I know, the only things these don't work on would be like, well, it's Bluetooth. So it may even work on like a PlayStation or Xbox? Right. I don't know. Do they say? Oh, look at you. That's cute.
Yeah, I got the blue and yellow to match my Switch.
That's adorable, light. Brian.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah, I like those colors.
Yeah, and I did what you did. Hold on, is it here? No, I left it upstairs. No, did I bring it down? Hold on. No, I left it upstairs. But that case,
hey,
I love.
Hey, can
that
we
case.
Have a little support real quick?
Yeah. What do you
need? I know I could go on the internet and look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got my base unit Switch, right?
Yeah.
Console.
Yeah.
Plugs in.
Right.
Then I got my Switch Lite, yeah. Right? Got that. So why is there two different frame codes on those things? Do I not have a unified system?
No, because a Nintendo is a per device system, not a account based thing. And everyone
that pisses me off.
Oh, they suck with this. That's terrible. Now, right, here's the thing, though.
I've got digital games that I'm playing on both.
Right.
And in one place, I have my friends, and I'm like, but I can't play with my friends in the other one because I haven't given them a new friend code. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Nintendo's terrible at this part of their thing, and they have been since the DS. They just cannot get it through their thick skulls that this is so archaic. It's so bad. You need a unified code system. You need a unified username. You need something like that. I don't know why they don't. Maybe they don't feel like they need to. There's got to come a breaking point, though, where they're just going to have to freaking do it, and they're going to have to figure out how to migrate everybody to it. And the longer they take to do it, the harder it's going to be to migrate everyone. You got to just freaking bite the bullet and do it, you guys. You potato heads. I love Nintendo, but man, that their online stuff, like just their general strategies are so...
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
All right, well, there's all that. Hope you enjoyed it. Now this. Time for us to read an email from a listener. This came in to us from Illinois, and Mike. Mike says this. By the way, use the email address boopshow@gmail.com. You, too, are encouraged to use that email, and we'll read it on the show. Hey, guys, love the show. Always listening when I'm engineering it up at work. You must be an engineer.
No.
Curious what your thoughts are on Mr. Musk's new ISP plan. Living in the boonies has got the potential to be my first chance to get broadband. All I have right now is DSL, and it's slow. Excites me is being able to get back into gaming. Could this, along with Amazon Satellite ISP mode, really blow up the gaming market? Mike the Nerd in Illinois. Possibly. I'm not going to go too deep into what each of those efforts are. I've read up a bit about them, and they're interesting, just like a lot of really cool broadband distance-based Wi-Fi sort of things, 5G having further extendability, or at least some of the specs having further extendability. There's lots of cool ideas floating around right now. All of it is good. Every single one of these are incremental steps in the right direction, which is fast, high-capacity, affordable internet everywhere in this country. Just like a lot of other countries have gone ahead and invested in. If we're not going to invest in it from a like tax-based perspective, then we better start doing it from other angles because we're falling woefully behind places like Korea and freaking Sweden and parts of Europe. They're just killing us with initiatives for better broadband for everybody. And I would really like to see more of that here. So I'm all for like one of these smart guys, even psychopaths like... I mean, he's not a psychopath. Elon Musk is kind of a wackadoo, but it's okay. He's, you know, there's a reason why he is where he is and what he does. And I would be very curious to see what his thing looks like. And I would be super interested to see if this better satellite solution than current systems from Bezos and company. Could be interesting.
I think both of them are very exciting ideas. And I can't wait to see if they can actually pull them off. There's a much larger problem in the U.S. than, you know, like Korea is so much smaller place. So, you know, running the infrastructure there is a lot smaller space to do it in. I think this is probably going to have to be the answer, especially if you're looking forward to all the things I've been playing. I am very fortunate where I live to have pretty decent broadband now.
Mm-hmm.
Some competition came into town and everybody finally straightened up. And I'm enjoying that GeForce Now stuff. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, next week I'm going to be playing Guilt. That was this month's freebie on the if you're the Stadia Pro member.
Right. That's their game, right?
That's their exclusive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the exclusive.
The one they paid to have made or whatever they did.
Right. Right.
I forget what that was.
So I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah. Give that a shot. I also I forgot to mention I signed up for Now.
Yes. super cheap right
GeForce
now.
It's very cheap, and you get 2 months or 90 days for free. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I played a bunch of games and had Zippo problem. It was great. I played all my Steam games that I wanted to play. I had a little trouble with Uplay, but it's just because I think the one game in Uplay is having some trouble with staying installed, and it's I don't know what's going on there, but all my Steam stuff worked. Everything that they were showcasing worked 100% fine. I played World of Tanks, of all things, for a few hours.
World of Tanks.
And I had, it was a lot of taints, all the taints. You can get new taints there, too, and new skins for your taint.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you want new skin? Taints. Yeah, new skin taint. It's amazing. So anyway, or new taint skins, I should say. But it really hurts. You got to pull the old skin off the taint and then apply the new skin to the new to
and
the taint.
And scream as you do.
Collect all the taints. But anyways, it ran just as advertised. It looked great.
Right.
It ran on my poopy Mac laptop that I've had for 100 years. And it just, that thing's got, does not have the processing power to run any kind of games in 3D or any of that. And that's not why I even own it. I use it for other stuff, but it played all that stuff just like beautifully.
Yeah.
Just no problem. 1080p.
So right now, I've played both Stadia and the GeForce Now a good bit. And I got to tell you, it reminds me of lots of every time there's been a new platform like VHS versus Beta, or Blu-ray versus HD, DVD, and all this other good stuff.
Yeah.
It very much reminds me of that. And I will tell you, it's if you have the Stadia Pro with the hardware that they sell, that is a slick experience.
Yeah,
it is slick from the top to the bottom.
Yeah,
and it works well. The GeForce Now also works well, but it is not slick.
Right.
I mean, it feels kind of weird when you launch the game. I've gotten kind of called a couple of times where I've had to like close it down and start up again because I might have clicked on the wrong thing, because when you throw up Steam game, it launches a virtual machine.
Yeah, you log into Steam basically.
Yeah, and you're it's a virtual machine and you're getting a virtual lockdown virtual machine. And so I clicked on a few buttons. The game kind of acted a little wonky, and I clicked on the wrong thing too fast. Next thing I know, the game just disappears, even though I'm still running in it. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, some of that stuff's a little weird. There's some, it's early goings, and obviously they've been in beta for a long time, so some of that stuff got ironed out before it released. Some of it didn't, but I was really impressed I was playing Dead Cells immediately, and I found out, before I knew it, I was like 2 hours of Dead Cells going, oh shit, right. Yeah. I'm not even on, this isn't even on my hard drive anymore. Like, what am I doing? And so I got out of it and then later checked back in on another machine. I was like, oh yeah, my save is still, all that progress is saved.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the same cloud, the same, it's great. I like it.
If things don't change though, I feel like I don't know if they can both exist in a market. And I think if Stadia can't find a way to give me access to other games, which they're doing somewhat, they've grabbed the exclusive, I believe, with Blizzard Activision,
we don't know yet.
Working, we don't know any absolutes on that yet, but it sure feels like that. It sure smells like that.
Yeah.
And so that it's going to be interesting.
You hear my theory on that? I have a theory on that. Here's my theory.
Give me it.
They're gonna white label, because that's part of this deal with Stadia. Stadia wants to white label their tech out to other people, meaning here's the tech, and now you just label anything you want. You're just licensing it from us, kind of like a game engine sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think Blizzard, with their pulling out of now and then being very quiet about things, I do think this has to do with their deal with Google and YouTube, but I think the deal is that they're going to white label that tech, and that the BattleNet launcher, will become a cloud gaming launcher. That's what it'll do.
I wouldn't doubt it.
It'll do everything. It'll do your local stuff too, of course, but it will be like, oh, you want to play WoW on the, over the cloud on your crap notebook on this trip to the hotel? Yes. Like, that's what I think they're going to do. Anyway, we'll see if they do or not.
That would be Stadia's best chance for survival.
I agree.
Really have not. Yeah, they really haven't did a really good job of marketing to just, the regular folk.
Well, not only that, it's a store that you have to buy games for. And until they
full
let you do.
Games.
Yeah, unless you do more stuff outside of that, they're going to have a problem. Whereas now, what's really appealing about, and why I'm forgiving of its glitches, is they're saying, hey, you already have a ton of games that you already own these, so why don't you play the ones you own, and I just fire them up, and there's the games. I own the games. Like, it doesn't...
It's awesome.
It's a glitch here or there, but for the most part, it's like, here's all the stuff you already have paid for. Why don't you just play them here? It's like it's like saying, well, here's you're renting another machine for $5 a month with 90 days free. You run on there whatever you want to run on there. And with the
which is great. It's this server rental, right? Is brilliant. And basically, they have some of the they have some great video card tech. So I mean, rendering is just amazing.
So it'd be cool if they got some exclusives, and also keep doing what they're doing with like letting you have your library. And then Stadia needs to go the other direction, swing the other way. You got all your exclusives and you have some of your games, but they're all full priced, gotta buy it again video games. I'm not gonna, you have, they have, they've given me no, like a guy like me with a 1500 game library on Steam, you don't have any innovation. You're not motivating me to come to you at all.
Right.
What would motivate me is if you said, hey, by the way, this, we're also gonna support your entire Steam library. We're gonna support your entire whatever. Then I would go, oh, all right, Stadia, now you're speaking my language. I like your back end. Let's do it. If they don't start doing something like that, they're screwed. Screwed, in my opinion.
Agreed.
All right. Thanks, Mike from Illinois. We appreciate the email, and we appreciate you guys listening. Again, that email address is boopshow@gmail.com. The website is frogpants.com/BOOP. You can find us on Twitter at boopshow. Find Brian at TheBrianDunaway. Find me at Scott Johnson. And the show at Boop Show. You can find our Reddit page over at boopshow.reddit.com. And we'll be back next week with more. Brian, before we go today, do you want to lay any hot, wet wisdom on the listeners?
Hot, wet wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Tune in this Thursday when Brian spends another hour and a half on another single freaking stage of Zelda.
You can do that again.
On twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway.
All right. No, I want to watch that. When are you doing this? Thursday when?
Yeah, Thursday. My throwback Thursday.
Okay.
I 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I get on and I play me some first time playthrough of that Zelda's Link to the Past.
I'm interested in seeing you do this, so I'm going to tune in. He's over there, you guys. And if you want to find more cool shows like this, find him at frogpants.com. And find us on Twitter. Say stuff to us there. Oh, a new episode of my comic went up today, so you want to check that out. That's all linked everywhere. So
that one was good. The last 2 weeks have been killer.
Well,
you're
glad.
Going up, up, and up. When are you going to lay an egg?
I don't know.
Tune
It'll
in
happen.
Next week.
It'll happen. It always happens. You eventually lay an egg. It can't be great every time.
Well, I mean, you can't keep getting better every time, right? Eventually, it has to have a step back.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's the pressure of making comics that people don't think about.
Yeah. You're right.
And always topping yourself.
It's not good. It's like anything, I guess. Everybody feels like they got to top themselves. Eventually, you make The Godfather 3 and you realize I should hang it up. Anyway, there you go, everybody. Have a fantastic week. Be good to each other. Say nice things. Eat more good food. And we'll see you next week for another episode of this fine show. Goodbye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.